As I've just read, our passage opens up today as once again Jesus gets himself in trouble. He does that quite often. You know, we've been reading Luke's gospel, this lectionary part. It's the beginning of chapter 14 that we read last week. The past few weeks, Jesus is found eating in the home of a leader of the Pharisees. And so now in chapter 15, he is eating with tax collectors and sinners. How dare he keep company with such folks? My goodness, doesn't he know that we are known by the company we keep? Haven't worked? Didn't you hear that growing up? I sure did. Doesn't he remember his mother's warnings not to run around with the wrong crowd? Doesn't he know that separating the righteous from the evil helps preserve the righteous? Apparently not. For once again, we see Jesus breaking down all the social barriers and welcoming outcasts to the intimacy of his table. And once again, we hear the scribes and the Pharisees grumbling about Jesus. They're grumbling, and in response, Jesus teaches the scribes and Pharisees again through parables. Now, at first, these parables today of the sheep and the lost sheep and the lost coin seem very straightforward. A shepherd loses a sheep and a woman loses a coin. And when they find their missing items, both call their friends. They invite them to come over, celebrate at the return of that which has been lost. The point is, though, that there is joy in heaven when one who has been lost is found. But wait, something is strange here. Doesn't it seem just a little absurd for the man, that shepherd, to risk leaving those 99 sheep alone in the wilderness to go and search for just one? The woman searching for the coin makes a little bit more sense because she knows it's somewhere in that house. It was worth a full day's wage that she had lost. But then they both call together their friends to celebrate. It kind of seems to me that the parties may have cost a little more than the value of what they have found. To many of us, it just doesn't make sense. You see, and then there is the issue of the folks Jesus used to illustrate his point. The Reverend Dr. R. Allen Culpepper was one of my professors a long, long time ago. And he suggests that by the first century, he's also a writer of tons of stuff, that shepherds had gained a bad reputation. They were not always the nicest folks. Shepherds weren't. They had got the name as being shiftless and thieving and trespassing and all kinds of things. They would go and steal. They were not the best. Shepherding was listed among the despised trades of the rabbis in that area. Now, Jesus had the nerve here to liken God to a good shepherd, and guess what? And also to a woman. How dare he? Good gracious. As I heard someone say one time when someone introduced me a long, long time ago as a preacher, and the woman said, "Good Lord, what's the world coming to?" Good Lord, it's just a woman. Do you see the Pharisees' outrage growing? First, he welcomes tax collectors and sinners wholeheartedly, and then he likens God to those in society who seem to be unworthy of such association. People like, here is that shepherd, someone that nobody, and a woman, my goodness. And even after this, Jesus is not quite finished with the scribes and the Pharisees. And for the final twist is yet to come. Not only does God rejoice over finding the one that would seem to have little value compared to the 99 who have already are righteous. Jesus said there will be more rejoicing over that one that is found than over the 99 who are already there. You know, sometimes that's the way it happens. Sometimes the 99 are sitting there and doing what they're supposed to do. And then there's always one or somebody who even might even be amongst those 99 that has not found their way home, has not found their way to God. And all of a sudden, something happens to them. Maybe they did go out looking by themselves and got lost, like the one little sheep. Maybe they rolled out of somebody's hand and found their way into a corner of a room like the coin. How could Jesus say that God would rejoice more over one tax collector or sinner than over 99 righteous Pharisees and scribes? Oh, those Pharisees and scribes did not like that at all. It was the ultimate slap in the face that Jesus had given them that day. Yet this message of today's story is for you and me just as well. God still calls out to those who are lost. God still rejoices when one accepts God's invitation to come to the table. When God invites us to come and we come and we lift our hearts up to the Lord, our hearts are broken and we come to the altar, we come to the table, we come and talk to someone. If we have recently been that one, you and I, we can relate to the tax collector. We can relate to the sinner who found great joy at being included in table fellowship. We can find great joy in that one who was lost and is found. But unfortunately, most of us in the church are more like the scribes and Pharisees. We get a little upset when folks don't follow the rules. We get upset when people do things that we think they shouldn't do. We get upset whenever they stand in the wrong place, sit in the wrong place, do the wrong thing. And sometimes we say things that hurt, and we don't really mean to, but it does, because we haven't thought about what we've done. We haven't thought about what we've said. Sometimes we need to think before it comes out. And I'm going to say right here that when we're talking about us in the church, I'm not talking about only you, I'm talking about me. Because there are times that I am like the scribes and the Pharisees, because sometimes when I think about it, I get frustrated, I'm aggravated, and all of a sudden, guess what? It just comes out. And then I'm like, you know, you probably shouldn't have said that. That was probably not the wisest thing to say. But guess what? When it's out, what can you do about it? Everybody's heard it. You've said it. You might as well accept it. You might as well ask forgiveness for it if you are sorry. And you might as well move on. Okay, God, I made a boo-boo. I really messed up. I really said something I shouldn't have. I gave somebody a look or whatever. And y'all been knowing me a long time. And I've been knowing some of you. And when I was a little girl, and I still do it, I would give bad eyes. Oh, my gosh, that's what they called them. Because I'd get a boy, I could give them mean eyes. And sometimes when people do things or say things that just get me the wrong way, I can roll my eyes with the best of them. I can, I can give bad eyes. I can think, okay. So it's something that I didn't grow out of it. I still have it because it's like it, you know, it tells all over your face. Your eyes do it. You got something going on. So I'm right there with the scribes and the Pharisees. I'm right there sitting in a church pew with you from time to time. But every now and then I do know, and it's a whole lot more of the time, that I do know that I've been like that one that went astray and that God found and brought back and people were happy. You see, we would rather keep ourselves separate from the world in order to protect our righteousness sometimes than to go be with the shepherd and the woman in search of what's been lost. Sometimes we don't want to get in there and help anybody else do something because we know that it's going to be dirty. We don't have the time. We don't feel like doing it. It's going to take too much time. It's not always pretty. But we have to do like Jesus. We have to sometimes leave the crowd here and go do something else. Sometimes we have to just leave and go do something else. Too often our sense of righteousness keeps us from extending mercy to the lost and celebrating with God when they are found. So let us break down those walls that separate us all. Let us break them down and let us become people of outrageous, expensive, reckless joy. It don't always have to be expensive, but it can be. Because, you know, there's always something going on. There's always a party. And if we love our Lord and if we serve Him the way He wants us to, we have to be people that are outrageous. We have to have a little bit of recklessness. We have to be extravagant in how we do things. Because I don't want to miss the party. Do you? Let us pray.